Good morning and welcome. Please see the announcements in your bulletin. Pastor, as you know, is on vacation until Tuesday. She can be reached for emergencies at 216-702-6271. Trunk or Treat is this Saturday, October 21st, from 4 to 7 p.m. Please invite your friends, family, and neighbors to the fun event. We will have refreshments and hayride along with our trunk or treating time. We will be taking a collection for the Heifer International before the kids go begging for candy. All kids and adults are welcome. Costumes are encouraged, and decorate your trunks too would be great. It is a fun time. Hopefully, pray for good weather for us. If it rains, we'll be in the church basement, which we have plenty of fun there too, but of course we prefer the campfire and roasting hot dogs. Please have any information you would like included in the November newsletter to the church office by October 24th. Thank you. We will be having a combined service on Sunday, October 29th at 10 a.m. We will have a potluck following the service. Please bring a dish to share and enjoy a time of fellowship. Any other announcements? We will have our centering hymn found on page 328 or on the screen.
Thank you.
Very pretty, Nola. Thank you. Please stand for the call to worship. Call to worship is taken from Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Yes, Lord, we are. Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. We come. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the enforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Teach us, Lord. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. We come to sit at your feet that we might find real rest. Our opening hymn is Great is Thy Faithfulness, found in the hymnal, page 140 and on the screen. Please remain standing while during the opening prayer. God, draw near to your people. Open your eyes to see the needy, oppressed, and marginalized in our community. Teach us your ways that we might reflect your love to them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our praise song is Majesty, Worship His Majesty. You may be seated. Can be found on page 176 in the hymnal. Mm-hmm. Our scripture reading this morning is Matthew 4, 18 through 22. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
We'd like to welcome Pride Bass with us this morning to talk about Farmer to Farmer. Farmer to Farmer was originally started right here when Ray Ake and Pride got together at some meeting. They talked about farming. Pride is from a farming community in Liberia. So Pride and his brother Dogma met with us downstairs with a few farmers, and we asked him a lot of questions that he couldn't answer. So, but we want to welcome Pride here, and rather for me telling you what Pride's faith journey has been, it's better that he tell it because I would embellish it too much. So, Pride, you're welcome. Come on up.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Henrietta.
It is a pleasure for me to be here with you and to see all of my good friends and brothers and pioneers in the faith that we started, like John said, right here at Henrietta Church down in the basement. And it's true. They ask a lot of questions that we had no answers for. We couldn't answer those questions. But praise God, I'm ready today to answer questions. giving honor to God, who is the head of my very being, I bring you greetings from Pastor Cameron, our pastor at Celebration United Methodist Church, and Pastor Rodney Williams of St. John United Methodist Church. I stay in touch with them every week. I talk to them two or three times a week in Liberia. I want to thank you. I want to thank Pastor Carter for letting me come and speak here. Looking out in the audience, I can just say I'm among friends. John Bourne, I've known for a while now. And I looked and see my mentor and great leader, Dr. Bill McFadden, here in the audience, and I'm honored to be here to see you. I pray that God will bless us this moment, this time that we are together to share together, that the Holy Spirit will lead me to say the things that I ought to say, and I pray that God will be with all of us in touching our hearts and our minds, that we may try to do the best things that we can to please him, because we are his children and he has a purpose for our lives. He has a reason why we are alive. And because of that, I just like to reiterate just a minute. I was told by my wise friend to begin by saying something about my faith journey, and I like to say that many years ago, I'm 81 years old now, today, but many years ago, I met this young lady at the University of Liberia, and we started going out together. Her name is Leslie. Her name was Leslie Jacobs, but we've been married now for a number of years, since 1966, I think so. But we have The night she left in 1964, October 1964, it was a nice evening. I drove her to the airport with her father, mother, and her brother. And when it's time for her to get on the plane, we had to say goodbye. And so I put my arms around her and kissed her, and I said, "Don't worry, honey, next year we'll be together." Well, I had not thought about that. I had not planned saying that. I don't know where the thought came from, but I blame God for that thought. And I said, "Lord, why did I say that? I hadn't planned saying that. But you put that thought in my head, and because I believe you did, I'm going to trust you to make it possible for me to go to America next year when I meet her." So another voice says, "You know, you just lied to that lady. You know you're not going anywhere." You know, it's always a gruff voice that starts out. It will say, "You can't do that. You can't do that." And then a little soft, melodious voice said to me, "You know, you used to visit that family every Sunday evening. I don't want you to stop. Keep visiting that family every Sunday evening. Put on your best Sunday outfit and go there and sit on the couch. If they talk to you, you talk. If they don't talk to you, you sit." Those were my orders. So I said, "Well, Lord, if you make this happen, then I believe this is the woman you want me to marry. And if you let this happen, I want to come back to Liberia and do something great in your honor." That's what we're doing with Farmer to Farmer. That is what we're doing with Farmer to Farmer. So he made it happen. She came. Her father gave me an address of a wonderful lady in Cleveland that was taking in African students, that she could sign some papers. At that time, it was easy to sign, to sponsor somebody. And so she sponsored for me. And all she did to have a house and say, "I will never be on the streets and dependent on the government for anything." So that's what happened. That's how I got here, by faith, by God. And so I was here. And then, well, I was at the embassy. There was a military guy at the embassy. He came up to me and said, "You know, you are of the draft age. Do you know there's a war going on in Vietnam?" And I said, "Yes, sir, I know about that." He says, "Well, you are of draft age. You may be drafted 6 months after you get in the States." I said, "Okay." See, I did ROTC in high school, and I was on the best drill team they had in the school. So I wasn't afraid of being, well, I thought I wasn't afraid of being in the military. So I accepted the challenge, and I came here, and exactly 6 months after I was here, I got my selective service notice to report for the draft. So everybody around me, all my friends, were sorry for me and all like that. I knew I had made a commitment to come, and I was willing to do whatever I had to do to fulfill that. So I went and talked to the recruiting officer and asked him, "What were my options?" He said, "Well, if we draft you, you spend 2 years in the military, but we can send you anywhere we want to send you. If you go for 3 years, you have an option. You can get out. If we change your training or whatever we do, you may have an option to get out." I said, "I'll take 3 years." And then I did all the battery of tests and stuff. And they said I was good in this and good in that, so I took electronics. So I spent 3 years in there, but the Lord protected me, because he had a job for me to do. He protected me. That was 3 times I was supposed to go to Vietnam, and every time something would happen in my records that I couldn't go. I either got promoted or I got transferred to another outfit within that time, and he just caused things to happen that way, so so I couldn't go to Vietnam. So I could spend 3 years in the States, get out, retire, and start a farmer to farmer. So that's what we did. So I gave honor to God, and I sat down thinking about what I was going to do after all those number of years that burden was on my heart, that I had to go back and do something. I didn't know what to do. I had been selling insurance for a number of years, so I thought that's what I'll do. So I made a business plan to do sell insurance, but then they told me I needed $1 million. So I said, well, I don't have $1 million. So what am I going to do? So my brother signed me up for a course of New Church Starts. And that's where I met Pastor Ray. And we were on the same table in the same section, and we were talking, and we went around the horn, and he said, what are you passionate about? What would you like to do? And I started talking about the needs in Liberia, and I was looking for some farmers that would donate some reconditioned, you know, farm equipment to us to take to Liberia. And he bounced up, you know, Pastor Ray, right? He said, we can do that. We can do that. And from that point on, we were together. That's when he invited us to come down the basement and be quizzed by these farming experts. But we have learned, and we have learned a lot in the number of years for being together. So I thank you for the experience, and God has been good to us, God has been good to me, and God has been good to farmer to farmer. Now, I would like to just, for a brief minute, talk about the great multiplier, which I think is God the Father, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He's a great multiplier. You know, he fed thousands of few fishes and loaf and bread and on a couple of occasions. And one time he even the disciples said they needed some money to go pay their taxes and stuff like that. And he said, well, go down to the river and go down to and catch a fish. And they caught the fish, and the money was in the mouth of the fish. And so he's been doing that. And so, but first he had John the Baptist come along. John the Baptist had a special function to do. And his function was supposed to prepare the way for Jesus Christ. And he came saying, I'll baptize you with water. But he that comes after me is mightier than I. I can't even tie his shoes. And he's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit, okay? And so they got excited and they were waiting. And so he's walking along sideways, and he's kind of feeling kind of bad because he heard that his time was almost coming to be, and John the Baptist's time was on the decline. And he heard that John the Baptist had been arrested and he was in prison, and it was not a good feeling. So he's walking along the seashore. And he sees two brothers casting a net. Now, their net was whole. Their net was in perfect shape. And they were catching fish. And so Jesus says, okay, come follow me. I'll teach you how to fish for men. So they decided to just drop everything and follow him. And I think the net, because the net didn't have any. And my father was a fisherman. We used to do the nets ourselves. We plait the nets ourselves. So I knew that the net had some holes in it, but their net did not have any extra holes. They could catch fish, and the fish won't slip out. So it's a way that God is saying, I want you, and I'll get you if you follow me. I will teach you how to fish for men, and they're not going to get away. Then he walked, he kept walking along the seashore, and he sees two other brothers with their father in the boat. But this time, they're mending their nets, which means their net has an extra hole. Their net has an extra hole, and so they had to patch it up. So I'm saying, why does this net have an extra hole in it? It's because sometimes we slip out of the graces of God. And the first net was where we stay within the grace of God. And the other net, sometimes we slip out of the grace of God. But But he's always with us. He's always with us. And so I look at farmer to farmer as God multiplying our efforts. It's a thought that was in my head from 1964-65. I've been carrying that along with me for those number of years. One person doing that. And then I met Pastor Ray, and now we're two. And then we meet John Bourne in Holland, and now we begin to multiply. And then we get up to the conference, and we meet so many other people. And we have a picture back there where we have a team of people going to Liberia with their farmer-to-farmer T-shirts on. And so we just kept multiplying, because Jesus is a multiplier. He's a multiplier. And if you take, I don't have to tell you this, because you are professional farmers. But if you take an ear of corn and plant that corn, it grows up. You get a kernel of corn, and you plant. See that? John, I was thinking about you. You take a kernel of corn and you plant it. It comes out, and it has more than one ear of corn on the stalk. So he multiplies that. All right? You take a grain, and it turns into more grains. So he multiplies that. So with what we have done in the last 13 years, God has been awesome. He's been awesome. We have built a school. We have an experimental farm that we're working on. We have people now that we have some pigs. We did have some chickens. Pastor Ray and Sister Kathy started a chicken project. But we had to shut it down because we don't have facilities in Liberia like you have here. You have a feed store. You have this. You have that. We have nothing. So if you want to raise chickens, you have to leave the country, go to a neighboring country, drive to a neighboring country, and buy the chicken feed, buy the chickens, the chicks, buy everything you need, and medication.
Don't touch that.
And now I know. And because we had to drive, and then because of COVID, they shut down the country. You couldn't leave to go anywhere. So they called me and said, we cannot feed the chickens. We cannot get the feed. We can't even get local food to feed the chickens. So we said, well, sell the chickens and put the money in the bank. By the grace of God, we will be able to do that in the future. So that's what we did. So now we thought we were doing good. And while I was there, we built another big area because we wanted to expand our poultry thing because we were doing pretty good. We couldn't keep up with the eggs, just eggs. People were buying the eggs. People were buying the chicken. They were coming to us, knocking on the door. Everybody. You have chicken. You have eggs. And we couldn't supply enough people right in the community. So we were thinking, oh, if we can expand this thing, we could expand our egg production. Because now Liberia was importing eggs from Europe. We put 80% of the food we eat out of the country, we import. And so we need to do what we can to produce some stuff within the country ourselves. Because that creates jobs, that creates independence, that creates entrepreneurs, that lift people up. This is what the purpose is. That's what we're trying to do. When the conference started the program, they had a program called 3 C's. They went and they helped us with farming. No, not farming. They helped us with churches, clinics, and classrooms. Those are the 3 C's. And the bishop had a special budget for 3 C's. I said, then I got introduced to 3 C's. And I said, this is great. But after we teach the people how to pray and how to sing and read the Bible, when we leave, they're going to be hungry. So let's add another seed. Let's add crops. Let's add a farm to that. and teach them how to farm, teach them how to grow more crops, more food, then they can take care of themselves. And we don't have to help them, you know, to bring them food and all the rest of that stuff. They'll be able to feed themselves. That's how Farmer to Farmer came about. So we are very happy about that. And so we are doing pretty good. So we went in the church, in our church in Liberia, in Harrisburg, St. John Church, where my grandparents started. The first time we went in 2014, when we took a team of people. In 2012, my brother and I went and we took the tractor. So and we saw all these kids. They had about 60, 70 little kids in the church. And they were too small to walk all the way to the school building, where the school was. And so we decided we should think about opening a school. So we got the school started. Now, the reason why we could do this school right in the church, because that's where my mother taught school. At one time, that was the schoolhouse in the church. They had one class over there, they had one class over there, one class over here. It just divided themselves, divided the pews out, and that's why they had school. So it was nothing new to them to have school in the church, so that's where we started. Then we outgrew the church. So we had to get a building. Well, we outgrew that building. And Pastor Ray and Sister A went ahead and built another building, which we have now. You will see on the slide. Oh, I should be showing this stuff. You didn't tell me this one. Okay. You see, we are teaching farmers. We're teaching our Martha says, I will get a hang of this. Okay. That's our motto up there. Changing Liberia one farmer at a time. Changing Liberia one farmer at a time. We feel that if we can get enough people into farming, all aspects of farming, not just planting in the dirt, the economics of farming, the business of farming, the importation, the exportation farming, those are all farming things. Who buys the equipment? Who supplies the farmer with the equipment that he needs? Who supplies the farmer with the fertilizer? Who supplies the farmer with the seeds? Those are all farming elements, as I understand it. And I'm sure if I'm not correct, John is going to get me straight. But if we can get enough people in the country doing that, I believe we can change Liberia. We can change Liberia. We can begin to produce enough food. We will not have food insecurity in areas now that we did not have 40 years ago. 50 years ago, because the area where we are, we didn't have transportation, we didn't have good cars, good roads. So we carried our produce and stuff that we grew in the community. Everybody in the community had a farm. And they grew enough food that we used to put them on a boat and take them to Monrovia to feed the city, the capital city. Okay, and so we have passed that. We were there, but then the war started and destroyed everything. All the infrastructure is gone. So we started like 100 years back. That's where the country is now, and that's not even the thing. The good thing, what the bad thing is that the people in power are not inclined to think about the country. They're so busy trying to position themselves to be in power that they don't care what happens to the average citizen. And that's the problem we're having. But God is in control. And I'm telling you, God is in control of everything. He owns everything. He owns 1,000 cattle on 1,000 hills. He owns everything. He owns everything about me, everything about you. Okay, let's move this over here. He has the world in his hands. And so we have an opportunity to make a difference in Liberia, because they just had an election on the 10th, and we're supposed to have results. We have some results, but the National Election Commission does not want to put that result out because they're trying to play games with the results. And we're tired. People are tired with what they're doing. And they said, we're not going to let you deprive us of our freedom. And so we don't know what's going to happen. Our candidate has won because they got the tally from the voting booths. They got tally from the voting booth, and this thing went out. They got tally from the voting booth. And so we know they won, but they're trying to play games with us. But anyway, this is Harrisburg. This is Harrisburg. That's one of our farmers there who teaches farming to the young children in the school. His name is Edward. And if you, I know Harlan probably remember Edward. He was a young college student at the time when you were there. But he's out of college now, and he's working as our chairman of our committee in Liberia. His name is Edward Bass, and he's not my brother, he's not my cousin. He's read by another Bass group like the Calhouns. You have different Calhouns, and so that's what happened. Everybody in the community got a Bass last name. Everybody in the community, because our parents did a lot of things, foundational things in the community to help a lot of people. So they just take your name. And so that's Edward. I'm trying, John. Okay. So those are the people. There's a coconut tree. And somebody that is raking. We don't have fancy equipment. We have just a regular hole in the rake and a calabash. That's what we're using. So we have to go back there now. We have three walk-behind tractors that they don't know how to use yet. So we're going to go back there and train them how to use, so they'll be able to do a little bit better than they're doing right now. But God is good. This is. I'm having fun here, John. That's Edward on one side. And on this side, this is the lady is our principal of the school, elementary school. And the gentleman there is a professor from Dayton, Ohio. He's a Liberian, but he went on vacation, and I called him and asked him, please go to Harrisburg and take a look at the school and see what we're doing up there and give us an assessment. So he went up there and he liked what he saw, so he bought some plantain that we planted, that we grew up there. That's what's on the ground. Plantain is like bananas, but it's bigger than bananas. I'm sure you heard about that. So God is working in Harrisburg. John, the light did not come on. It's on, it's red. Okay. And there's our cornfield over there. And they're so happy. They're standing in the field there. And that's the sweet corn. You see that? And we can grow corn every 6 weeks. So if we want to, we can supply the whole country with corn. We can supply the whole country with corn. And we might, if we do it better than that, we could even export to get some hard currency to be used to build houses, build schools, build churches, and do whatever we want to do. We'll have the funds to do that. We can do that. And that's all we need is a jump start. All we need is a jump start. And that's what you have been able to do to help us. And we're grateful. Now, this picture shows the high school. And I would be remiss if I didn't say who was responsible for us having that high school. And the great giant is sitting right here in this room, Dr. McFadden, who helped us raise $80,000 in 90 days. Think about it. $80,000 in 90 days. And that's the result of the efforts, Dr. McFadden. That's the result of your hard work, of your genius. Because you came to us and you said, if I'm going to do this, you have to do this. He got us organized. We weren't organized before. He got us organized. And sometimes, I guess it was like somebody pulling teeth, maybe, because he had some people, some people on the board that didn't want to budge, but he has a way of talking to people and getting things done. And we appreciate that. But the job was done. And when you get to heaven, you're going to have a whole bunch of folks behind you. When God gives you your crown, and he can say, who did you bring with you? Who did you multiply the gospel with? It will be a whole bunch of folks that you didn't know, but they're going to say, I was benefited by your love, by your effort, and by everything that you did. So this is where we are. This is where we are. So I think I should stop at this moment, because I understand you have some easy questions. Some easy questions. And I'll be more than delighted to answer any easy questions. Don't talk to John, he has hard questions. But if you have some questions, I'll be more than happy to answer. We have some pictures in the back there. We have running water. God has blessed us. We have a laboratory. We have a library. We have a computer lab. We have solar panels, solar power. And we are, God is ready to do some awesome things with us, with Farmer to Farmer in Liberia. God is ready.
Are you experiencing drought in Liberia, or is the water holding out for your crops?
The water is holding out. We have two seasons in Liberia, the dry seasons and the rain seasons. We just got out of the rain seasons. And so in November, December, January, you could say it's our winter. We don't have much rain and we don't have much sunshine, but it's kind of like here, like 60, 70 degrees at that time. That's when I like to take people to Liberia, because it's not too hot and it's not raining much. I always like to take people in January. But this time I'm leaving next month, second next month, taking a team, because we have a dedication coming up in February to dedicate the school. And so somebody has to be there to organize things in the programming and paint the building and make sure everything is right. We want to invite some other people to come and see what we're doing, that what we have tried to do on our own, and maybe they'll give us some help. That is the chicken building, the new chicken building that we built. That is a 50 by 100. And we thought we could put about 2,000 chicks in that place, because we were getting ready to be the number one producer of chicken and eggs in the country. We would still do that. We already have the building. We would do that. We got some pigs. We have some pigs. And if you, any hog farmer here, we would like to have you come to Liberia and teach us how to raise the hogs. And get them to be big hogs. We like to have, so we can have our own hand. We can have a smoke whatever, you know. We can have our ribs. We're gonna take all the stuff you do here and take it over there and try to multiply it, try to make it happen. But we learn from one another. We learn from one another. And what I try to do is, the best that you have here is what I want to take to my people. The best that you have here to take over there. Because I have a brother over there who wouldn't listen, gets into trouble. So I told him, we don't need you in America. You can stay in Liberia and be whatever you want to be. If you go to America, you got to do better than what you're doing here. And so if you're going to do bad, you can stay right here and do bad. And that's where he is. My other brothers and sisters all came over. But he stayed there. And until he gets his life together, he's going to be there. I take care of him. I send him money every now and then, every month to take care of him. But he's there. That's the church. And that's the young people at the church. And that's my brother there, standing right here. Theo, he's in Liberia right now. He went to help with the elections. And that's another gentleman there who plants pepper. He said he wants to be the pepper king in Liberia. So he has a pepper orchard. He has all kinds of peppers. So that's good. We're trying to diversify the farming. You know, and everybody can do the same thing, because if we diversify, then we can kind of bless the people. That's the church. There's Easter Sunday, and they're at the river baptizing. There's a new convert that's being baptized in the river. And so the church is still growing. The church is doing the best to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ and make disciples. So we are very happy about that. Any other questions?
With the expansion of the school, because I know we started with the high school and then we went to the elementary school, how many students are you getting into all the combined schools now?
We have total in our system, elementary and high school, elementary and junior high school.
Right.
We had 350 students, elementary and junior high school. The elementary school was too, we didn't have space for the fifth, sixth, and seventh graders, so we moved them into the high school building. Since we don't have any eighth graders, we don't have any ninth graders, this is the first year we're going to have 10th graders. Well, we have enough space. We have eight to ten rooms that are 40 by 40 rooms, classrooms, plus the library and the lab and all like that. So like now we don't have any 11th grader or 12th graders. We just have a 10th grader. So they move up and then we still have some other rooms that they keep moving up to the 12th grade.
So
we have enough room.
Do you have enough space right now?
Yeah.
To handle the high schoolers?
Right.
Because I know you, with the building of the schools, the number of students coming in is multiplied, as you said, quite a bit.
Yeah. No, it's going to be, right now we do have some funds to build a junior high school.
Right.
We have some funds already. So we're hoping that by the time we get to the 12th grade, and those junior high school kids are coming up, the next 2 years or so, we'll be able to add the money up and build a junior high school. So those students that are occupying the high school now, junior high school students that are now in the high school building, will move over to the junior high school. So we have the elementary school, the junior high school, and then we have all the 8 rooms for the high school students. Yeah.
So you think you're gonna see an expansion of students.
We will.
Students coming in to go to school in Harrisburg.
We will. We have. When I go back, I think they had about 6 elementary schools in the community. So we're going to have enough students coming in. But like I said, if we get to junior high school in the next 2 years, then all those students that are now occupying four classrooms in the high school building will shift over to that.
Right.
And so we'll find the next 2 years, we're good.
Mm-hmm. Is that expanding too, or is it still kind of about the same size?
The
uniforms,
yes,
the sewing,
yes.
Group?
When we get back, we had built a special building right next to the church. Harlem, where we used to eat, right, that little shed, we put a concrete building there, and we put sewing machines in that building. That's where it was. They were sewing. What's going to happen when we go back, we're going to move those machines into the high school building. We have a special place for that in the high school building right now. So we're going to get a director or somebody in charge of the sewing and home economics area. That's what we're trying to do. To teach them how to do things in the home, baking, cooking, sewing, all of that's going to be part of that process. And we have a space for them right now, but they're not occupying that space right now. So we're going to move them up there, and then we'll have them organized to start producing, because they were producing stuff before when we had a director. They used to make stuff for us, and we used to bring it and sell it when they had mission nights at Lakeside. And we sold a lot of things there. We sold T-shirts, farmer to farmer T-shirts. But then that's how we got our money. That's how we got our funding. Because when we started, we didn't have a budget. We didn't have anything. The church asked me, what's the budget? What are you going to do? I said, farmer to farmer funding is not going to be a part of the church budget. I said, this is the process, this is the work of God. And if God wants this thing done, he's going to provide what we need, because he is the provider. He's going to provide what we need. So we have been working and expanding, and God has been multiplying and increasing us in all that we've been doing. We have a website. We have people can go on the website and make donations And we like for that to increase, because if that happens, then we will be fine. We just composed a letter, Dr. McFadden. I thought an idea that what we do is compose a letter to all the churches and to everybody, that if they give us $50 a month, if we get enough people giving us $50 a month, we'll be able to do everything we want to do. We'll be able to do everything we want to do. So that's what we are. Any other question?
Something John probably doesn't know the answer to. How do you keep monkeys or elephants or things from getting to the crops that you're growing?
Oh.
Do you have?
We don't have any monkeys or elephants.
You don't?
No. We might have had it some years ago, but then we ate them all up. And, you know, I was just thinking what we could do is we have to think about ecology. We have to think about the balance of nature. So if we take a quotation from one of your presidents that said, we would put a chicken in every pot, right? If we put the chicken in every pot, then they don't need to kill the elephants or the deer or the birds, because we had those pretty birds, the toucan birds with a long beak. When I was growing up, we had those birds in Liberia. It's a tropic. They love being there. But when you don't have stuff to eat, they become dinner. And so if you keep killing the animals without replenishing them, then you will have a problem. Just like if you keep cutting, like they use coal for fuel. So they cut down the trees and burn it to get hard coal they use for fuel to cook. Well, if you keep cutting down the trees and don't replant trees, then pretty soon you have a desert. So we have to help people. We have to find, I have a man in Cleveland who wants to go and plant trees, help other plant trees. So that's good. That's expanding farmer to farmer again. So that's a lot of things we think about, and God just sends people our way with resources and different things to help us do what has to be done. But God knows what needs to be done. And another thing I thought about, Dr. McFadden, I had to learn some stuff. I don't know everything, and I'll be the first one to admit there's a lot of stuff I don't know. So I try to find people who know stuff that I don't know. That's the only way I can do stuff. So I asked the board to help us set up what we call an advisory committee. You met one of the gentlemen, Dr. McFadden, that came to the house. Those guys have worked in Liberia. They work with agencies in Liberia. They work for the government in Liberia. So you know the process. I've been to Liberia a number of times since 2010. But before that time, I only been to Liberia one time, well, two times. One time I went to visit. Second time I went to bury my father in 1984. So only two times I was in the country since 1965. So I don't know the system. I have to have somebody tell me what are they saying? What are they talking about? I have to learn the culture. I have to learn the language. I have to learn the nuances of what's going on. So we got these people who have worked the system, worked in the country, lived in the country. They know how to tap into different agencies. So we get them to write proposals for us. Because we try to write proposals here, and it's like a headache because you don't know where to start. You don't know what you're doing. So we get these guys. Now we have a guy down in Atlanta who used to be the deputy minister in the country. And he says he's an architect. He's a civil engineer. So he's written proposals for the government over there to build roads, to build low-cost houses. He's done all of that stuff. He's written a proposal for them. So God sent him to me because he went to same high school I went to, and he lived in Cleveland for a while. So now he's on board, and he's making a proposal that I'm going to take with me to Liberia when I go and try to interact with the USAID to help us do what we need to do. Okay? God bless you. May the good Lord bless you and keep you. And may his face shine upon you and give us all peace. And I thank you for listening. Thank you for listening. This is one of the first churches that we partner with, Farmer to Farmer. And that's how we got started, with Pastor Ray and Henrietta. Thank you for letting me speak to you today. Thank you, John.
Thank you very much for being here, Craig. We did enjoy it and appreciate your information.
Thank you.
We will have a hymn of response. What a friend we have in Jesus. Page 526.
Yeah.
We have an invitation to silent confession and meditation. We'll take a minute. Please join me in the prayer of confession found on the screen. Lord, help me to die to self that I might truly reflect the love of Christ. Wean me from my old nature, renew my mind, cleanse my heart, and focus my eyes on things above. Give me the new nature you have promised, which is being renewed in the knowledge and image of God. In compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Help me to forgive that I might be forgiven. Help me to love as I have been loved. In your name I pray. Amen. Pastor Teresa has given us the Declaration of Forgiveness. God's love has been lavished on us while we were yet sinners. Come, having confessed your sins and laid aside your burden, and find rest for your souls. Thanks be to God. Next is our Joyce's concerns this morning. Do we have praises, concerns? It's Brian's birthday? Brian's birthday.
Happy birthday to you.
And also, he went to take his medicine. He don't take very much. This morning, he said, Mom, this isn't right. So they had given him the wrong meds. So we caught it. We called him and got it taken care of.
Oh, good. That's a praise.
Yes. I want to pray for Jan Engersbaugh. She's had a procedure this week, and it didn't go as... there were some complications, and she had some pain with it, she's home now.
Mm-hmm.
And there was, in the first service, they want prayer for the Phillips family. The sister-in-law died this week. And also, Tom said that a brother had some antibiotic working out, and he's out of ICU from an infection he had in his leg. Getting better.
Sarah's brother.
And Julie said there's a knee replacement and having some pain and something about insomnia for Nancy. I'm not sure what that was. But pray for all in the church and praying for Israel and Palestine and Ukraine.
Mm-hmm.
Also, there was an earthquake in Afghanistan, Stan. So we need to pray for them also. Any other prayers, concerns, praises?
Pray for the election in Liberia.
Pardon?
Election results in Liberia.
Pray for election results in Liberia. All right, let's pray. Dear Lord, all health and healing are gifts from you. We pray for those we have named here today. Please speed their healing and give them an extra measure of patience as they recover. We pray for an end to the violence and bloodshed in Israel and Palestine. We ask that you would bring comfort to those who have lost loved ones, healing to those who have been injured. We pray for your protection over the innocents, for the success of humanitarian efforts, and for your wisdom to guide the leaders of nations towards a peaceful resolution. Also, please care for those trapped in Afghanistan, earthquake, the injured, those who have lost loved ones, and protect those who are trapped and rescuers who are looking for them. Also, Lord, please bless those who mourn. God, comfort them with your love that they may face each new day with hope and the certainty that nothing can destroy the good that has been given. May their memories become joyful and their lives encircled by your love. Please pray for, please take care of Liberia's election, and please make sure that we have a good outcome there. And now let us pray the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We'll now have the offering. Join me in the offertory prayer. Lord, we are truly thankful for the bounty you have provided. Help us to good stewards of the resources you have placed here for our use. May we use them wisely and with care, and then return a portion back to you so that your love may continue to go forth into all the world, bringing the good news of the gospel to those who have yet to hear the message of salvation. Amen. Our closing hymn is Standing on the Promises, hymnal 374, and on the screen.